Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Brian Quinlan here from Daniels Real Estate.
Brad Nickum from Nest Mortgage Group.
Excellent. Glad you're here.
I had to be here for you to get in.
Tough commute. That's true. And today we have a success happy hour show. Someone who has nothing to do with real estate except one of his neighbors is one of my real estate friends, James. But
I own a home.
That's yeah, that's real estate.
That counts.
Sir, who are you and what do you do?
My name's Matt Taylor, and I am the radio voice of the Colts.
That's got to be pretty cool to say.
Yeah, it is.
Do you still kind of kick yourself? Like, holy crap, I'm really this guy.
I am very, very blessed and honored to have this job. Absolutely. I say it all the time that the moment that hits me the most is right before kickoff when you stand up and you've got the national anthem playing and everybody's quiet. And you look around, there's 65,000 people doing the same thing. It's like, holy crap, how lucky am I to be able to do this? And that's usually when I have like the biggest moment of gratitude.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
All right, well, let's start with our traditional cheers here. There you go. Got your water over there.
I got to drive home, boys.
It's understandable.
Cheers, understandable.
What do you got today, my man?
I figured since we are talking football.
Okay.
And I have an interview coming up with the owner of El Bandido Yankee, which is a fantastic tequila owned by Jim Bob Morris, who is a Green Bay Packer.
Oh,
and
right.
Chris Chelios.
That name?
Wow.
Jim Bob Morris, familiar with that name at
all? That one does not strike up.
How about Chris Chelios?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black player, right?
Chris Chelios and Jim Bob.
The Blackhawks, right?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame NHL player, so they own this tequila brand. And again, another traditionally made, additive-free, NOM 1107, fantastic tequila. So that's what I'm drinking here today.
So Brad on the side, in addition to being a lender and a super successful podcast host here, he has his own show on YouTube and Facebook called Tasting Tequila with Brad.
Wow.
And so he's very big into the additive-free tequilas. And
traditionally made tequila.
Traditionally made tequilas. Thank you. And he has done Zoom interviews with some of the big wigs in the tequila world.
Well, I saw the Sammy Hagar stuff. So,
yeah, got Sammy Hagar's birthday party in Cabo for
probably
a year.
No kidding.
Yeah,
oh.
That's what's.
I bet that sucks.
Sammy's the one that got me hooked on tequila with the old blue bottle Cabo Wabo, which was actually made at this same distillery.
Love that.
Seven.
Amazing.
And, yeah, tequila's been a lot of fun. It's a fun spirit.
No doubt about it.
And I don't like tequila. So there's that. Anyway, I do.
They're coming around.
I'm slowly coming around. I have a Sun King beer, which is one of my favorites.
So we need to have them on the show.
We do. We're gonna hook that up. This one, I actually brought this one out today because you being a sports guy, you're not just a Colts guy, you're a sports guy. So this has got Gene Cady on.
Love that.
Is the Play Hard Lager from Sun King with a very funny caricature there of Gene Cady. So this is really tasty.
You like it?
I do. I'm a fan.
But it tastes different than the last one that you had.
It's very clean and crisp, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, compared to others. But as far as, you know, taste, I don't really know. Tastes like a lot of other light golden beers that I've had. But still.
I miss the Gene Cady, Bobby Knight days. That's back. That's the only time I really watched basketball was after high school. And when IU was good back then, I used to have a good basketball team. Back in the day, they used to hang banners because they won so many championships. And all my Purdue friends were a big fan of this team that didn't have any of those banners, which I always thought was weird. But
got a consolation banner now.
I miss the Bobby Knight interview days. I said, I'm moving these because they're not on screen there. I just want to make sure that Chris and, that, you know, professional athletes, I don't want to
put them over here.
I don't want them to be mad at me.
Hey, if we can get Chris Chelios on the show.
You know what I said when they were picking the press secretary for this, you know, new administration? I wanted it to be 1992 Bobby Knight to be the press secretary.
Just get out there.
Just to have him answer those reporters' questions. He was the best. I couldn't imagine how horrible it was to have to interview him or, you know, ask those questions.
Yeah.
You know, but his answers were always amazing. So I think he'd be a great press secretary.
He was before your time in broadcasting. But
who's that?
Bobby Knight.
Well, no, not really.
No?
No, you want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
I was 12 years old. I was at the Bob Knight basketball camp, so staying at the dorms.
I went there when I was
like Teeter
high school, yeah.
You know, like Wright Teeter on the campus of IU, 12 years old. It's always in the summer, so it coincides with this is back when
sweating your ass off.
Well, it was back before travel baseball, you know, travel sports. It was, you know, back in my day, you did Little League and then you did All-Stars, right? So you made the All-Star team.
Right.
So I
and if you're good there, then you make the travel team.
Well, I don't even think there were travel teams then, okay. But at any rate, yeah.
We were in Illinois.
It's an Illinois thing.
So anyways, long story short, you scheduled to go to Bob Knight basketball camp, and then you play on the All-Star team, then tournaments pop up. So I had a All-Star, Little League Baseball All-Star tournament that overlapped with going to Bob Knight basketball camp.
Boy.
So let's just say, I don't remember the details, obviously, but let's just say Bob Knight basketball camp was Monday to Thursday. Well, my dad drives down, pulls me out of camp to go to Little League Baseball, and that's like an hour down the road. Go to the game, come back, get back like in the late evening, and there's like an all-camp meeting that everybody has to be there for, like at 9 o'clock.
Sure.
Telling my dad, we got to be there by 9 o'clock. So it's like 8:55, and I'm still in my baseball garb. So I walk in, and I go around the back door because I know I'm going to be like late, you know, like early, like on time is late, that kind
right,
of thing,
yeah.
Bob Knight. So I go around the back door, know I'm cutting it close, and I think I'm good to go. And I walk in the back, and like the door clicks on me as I open the door and try to shut it real soft. And there's this big clicking sound. The entire camp turns around, looks at me. Obviously, I'm late, and I'm not, like, at the camp where I'm supposed to be. I got pulled out to play Little League Baseball, and I'm 12 years old, and Bob Knight just eviscerates.
No way!
I have no recollection to this day as to, like, what he said or the deeds. All I know is, like, I'm getting undressed as a 12-year-old by Bob Knight because I'm, like, you know, tardy and, you know, not on time, which I really was on time, so the whole story, I just blame on my dad because we didn't get back.
His fault. He didn't get you there.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, my friends that were at the camp still talk about that.
Do they still tease you about it?
Oh, yeah.
So in college, I went to IU. I took a class called the Coaching of Basketball. It was an 8-week only class. It was the first 8 weeks of the school year. It was Bob Knight was listed as the instructor. I'm like, well, I got to sign up for this class. And I had to get special permission to get in the class because I wasn't in that major technically, but it worked for education. You know,
yeah.
Hey, coach someday. So we met in what was then the press room of Assembly Hall.
Right.
And Knight's there on the first day, and he starts laying out the ground rules for the class. He goes, because we met twice a week. It was a 45-minute lecture followed by 45 minutes of running drills on the basketball court at Assembly Hall.
Sure.
This is the best. First day, he's like, do not miss class. He goes, you miss one class, C is the best grade you're going to get. You miss two classes, don't even bother coming back.
Right.
And rule number two was, do not wear a hat to class. Very against hats in the building. I don't, this would not have.
He would have a heart. He's rolling over in his grave.
Exactly.
Now.
So in an 8-week class session, twice a week, there'd be 16 classes. I believe of the 16 class sessions, he was there like 7 times.
Okay.
Maybe 6. And the way I understood it, that was a lot for
yeah.
him because that's like fishing season. So
sure.
Otherwise, it was Norm Ellenberger that ran the class. But one day, might have been class number two, guy walks in a Yankees hat.
Ooh, no go.
And Knight was like, I thought I told you all not to wear a hat. And he goes up to this guy and he goes, of all the hats you could wear,
yeah.
you wear a goddamn Yankees hat.
Because he's a Cardinals guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he just lambasted this kid. I'm like,
oh. Did the guy ever come back to class?
I honestly have no idea.
I would have worn a Yankee shirt to every school.
I felt bad for him. At the same time, I was like, this is awesome.
I'm getting here, Bobby Knight, rip somebody.
That's right, man. It was a good time. So, all right. Now, Matt and I have a history together. So
I didn't know.
Back when I was a teacher.
Deep.
I know. Back when I was a teacher, my summers would be spent painting houses. And I worked for Matt's uncle, Steve Taylor. Hi, Steve. Sure you're watching the show. And one summer, I think I did that for about 7 summers. So I think the last summer that I did that was when you were painting.
I thought we had multiple, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
Okay.
But either way, that was, there was, don't know if you remember this one particular house, Old Town Greenwood.
Oh, yeah.
On Pearl Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolute piece of crap house. We scraped, I think, the entire house, just littered.
For the entire summer.
Oh, my gosh. It was just the worst. We're just going through this thinking, this thing should just be knocked down. It was the worst. It was like, you know, 117 degrees or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was awful. So
were there a couple of realtors waiting on you to finish so the FHA loan could close?
maybe. But I'm not even sure, because with an FHA loan, not only do you have to scrape the paint chip.
You got to pick up the chip.
You got to make sure you pick them all up. And I'm not
sure. Don't think we did that, at least not thoroughly.
Yeah. I drive through Old Town Greenwood every now and then. And every time I'm going by there, that house just sticks
still
to
there.
Me.
Yeah.
That was something.
Did it need repainted, or did you?
It might. I don't pay that.
Sure, it does.
At this point, it probably does. But at the time, you were you still in college at that point at Franklin College?
Yep.
Where you played football. Awesome. And you were interning maybe with Q95.
Yep.
Around that time.
Yep. Yep.
You know, one of the things that stands out to me about those times, you do phenomenal voice impersonations. And I don't know if you still do, but at the time it was like, wow.
You're like Mark Patrick?
Very much like Mark Patrick. When you were with Q95, you were with Bomb Tom specifically, yes?
No. I was working for Q95 in the promotions department. So Bomb and Tom is its own entity.
Okay.
Yeah, Bomb and Tom has like their own wing, or at least they did at the time at Clear Channel, which is now, I think, iHeart.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But at any rate, I know they've been sold, but I was working promotions, and that was just a foot in the door. And then once you get in, then you can go exploring a little bit and you know, network, and that's how that whole thing started.
And can you do a really good Don Stuck?
No, Stucky's a good dude.
Yes, Don. Well, I haven't
seen or talked to him in probably 15 years.
He's on like Chicago PD. Like he's an actor now in Chicago.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he's he's gotten a couple parts. I think it's on PD, but it may have been on Med. But yeah, he's a great guy. He's from New Pal.
Is that right? I didn't know. I thought it. Yeah, you can do some Donnie Baker. Yeah.
Did you ever get to do anything with the Bob and Tom Show?
I did not.
Man,
I totally
could have like. With the voices that I would hear you do out on the paint job.
Oh, that
like,
was, yeah.
How is this guy not on? I'm sure those were all in your head.
The voices in your head.
No.
Voices in your head.
In my head.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What's your best voice?
We're putting you on the spot now.
We are now.
The ones that I like to do are the local guys. You know, I like to do, Don Fisher, and he's, you know, obviously no longer with us, but Joe McConnell was a favorite of mine to not only listen to but to imitate as well. Joe Smith is a local guy, Bob Lovell's a local guy. So if you talk with any sort of cadence and rhythm, I can usually pick it up. That's what is most imitatable, if you will, is if you talk with a pattern.
I would want you to get Madden down really good and then do a whole like play-by-play as Madden.
Next. Here's a guy in a thing and a ball, and all of a sudden he goes round and round and boom. You got a guy, you know, people come up to me all the time. They say, I'm going to play some football. I say, you're going to play some football. You should probably go out and buy some cleats. Boom.
Boom.
It's not bad.
No, it's really good.
Play the hits on the John Madden, right? There's like five things you got to incorporate.
I like the one where he says, you know, I think if they get the ball into the end zone, they're probably going to score.
A little bird just hit the window.
A bird hit the window?
Yeah.
You would think they would learn by now.
Yes. They don't know what they're doing. All right. So there was Ron Colley football.
Yep.
Played.
Yep.
Played at Franklin College. And then you went with Franklin College, your degree or area of study was broadcasting, I assume?
Broadcast journalism.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the intention of doing what?
The intention of...
The voice of the Colts.
Well, the intention of doing this at a high level. And I was going to take it as far and as long as I possibly could. And I didn't want to sacrifice everything else I wanted in life. You know, right around the time I graduated college, I started dating my now wife. So I knew we were going to get serious.
Ron Colley girl?
No, she actually went to Greenwood High School, met her through a friend at Franklin, like a friend of a friend type deal. She went to IU. So I didn't want to sacrifice anything else I wanted out of life, you know, settling down and, you know, starting a family and having kids and things like that. So, you know, the industry even then, I mean, it's even more, I would say rocky, troubling now 20 years later, but even then it was tough to try to even think about carving out a path and finding your niche and, you know, establishing yourself. Just the competition for jobs was hard. So, at Franklin College, it was a small school, hands-on, you know, large opportunities in the sense that, like, again, I studied traditional mediums. You know, nowadays you guys are literally doing a podcast from your garage. Okay. 20 yeah. years ago, this didn't exist, obviously.
Right.
So I studied traditional radio and traditional TV. And that's how I started to try to make a living. And so with that at Franklin College, you had campus radio station and campus TV station. And I just absolutely immersed myself in those things. And I got a lot of hands-on experience and was able to play ball, like you said, was able to get a really good education. So I feel like for the time in which I was in school and cutting my teeth, there was no better place for me because I was able to play football, be an athlete, and also just immerse myself in the experiences that were there for me. And again, I say this a lot. This has nothing to do with Franklin College as an institution, but if I'm a school or if I'm a student in school right now, I don't know if I go to Franklin because of the digital age. You can do all of this anywhere, right? And so back then, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, in 2006, 7, and 8, when I was in school, you know, if I was at Ball State or Indiana, you have to wait your turn. You got to wait in line. You got to be an upperclassman to call games or sure. to be on the air or do a show and things like that. At Franklin, it was me.
Hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, right? That's awesome.
And with the, you know, the passion and the drive that I had, I just took the bull by the horns and I just started creating my own opportunities, you know, and I loved it. You know, I was the geek. I was the dork that would give up his weekends to go with the basketball team to Defiance, Ohio and Bluffton and Lexington to play Transylvania and Rolls-Hulman. So I just wanted to be on the air. I wanted to get more experience. I wanted to just, you know, cut my teeth and learn and grow. And so that was huge. So to me, it didn't matter that I wasn't calling Division I games. I was calling games and I was yeah. getting better and I was getting the experience. And so I felt like for me, when I graduated, I had a lot more experience and hands-on, you know-how, if you will, to come in and thrive right away in radio. Now, again, things have changed so much since then, but at the time, I felt like I had a really good head start.
Do you do any podcasting now?
Just through the Colts. Yeah.
Okay.
Just through the Colts. Yeah. We have, so much audio and radio and digital content. Yeah. All year long.
Did you know that I am the new PA voice for Franklin College football?
I did not know that. How did that come about?
So I
knew. You dropped your name a lot?
No. I know Lance Marshall,
okay.
who is the AD
yep.
presently, and he knows that I do PA for Center Grove. And so right before the season started, whoever the PA guy was prior to me, he dropped out somewhat last minute, though it was still weeks before the show
sure.
started. And so I get a phone call one day from the assistant athletic director, Ryan. I'm sorry, I don't know Ryan's last name. But I was like, well, this will be an interesting call. And he says, yeah, somebody gave us your name. Any chance you're available to do our football games? I was like, well, there were 5 games. I was only available for 2 based on the schedule that I had.
Right.
And so when I got to the second game, I was like, hey, Ryan, have you guys figured out what you want to do for next year? And he goes, honestly, no, we haven't done that yet. I go, well, honestly, I don't mind doing this.
Yeah.
You know, doing this on Saturdays, I got time, and it doesn't interfere with my Center Grove schedule, which is always Friday
right.
nights. He's like, heck yeah, we'll take you.
That's awesome.
So now that's me. And then they asked me to do basketball. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I know. I was like,
Well, Coach Leonard's back, so maybe they'll be winning a lot more.
Well, that would be nice.
You know?
Why can't you do basketball?
It's like 25 games.
It's a
girls,
much bigger
right?
time commitment.
Women.
And I'm also doing boys basketball for Center Grove. So,
oh, gotcha.
And I got to sell houses. So,
and there's don't forget, you're a very successful podcaster.
Exactly. I got this to do because then I also edit this show. So, There's just a lot going on.
How do you have the time?
I don't.
You want to edit my tasting tequila,
no,
Brad?
No. All right. So after interning, college over, how did you, well, I guess maybe what did you do and then how did you get to the Colts?
So I had a million part-time jobs, you know, like I said, trying to find my way. I interned a lot in college and did a lot of things and tried to network. I did one fall semester of like the Olympic, I was the Olympic sports guy at IU. I did like soccer and volleyball and things like that. Made no money, but just, you know, just networked and it was a really good experience.
Is that a term you made up, the Olympic sports guy?
Or is that, yeah, well, like the non-big revenue.
Yeah, okay.
Like the Olympic sports, right?
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's what they were.
I was literally picturing like the javelin.
Yeah, no. Maybe that's a bad term.
Revenue-generating sports.
And this is like the infancy of like, you know, streaming. It was audio only. It was all through desktop, you know, no app, obviously, it's before smartphones. Worked at a country music station in Newcastle, and I freaking hate country music. So you can tell, you know, that was a great experience, but
what about America? Do you like America?
America's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just checking. I want to check in on that because, you know, country music's like America, but that's okay.
Oh, you mean, I thought you meant the band America.
No, I mean the actual country.
Well, I like both. Yeah.
Okay.
To be clear.
Hey, you know, I like Beyonce.
Do you?
Yeah.
What is it about? I forget what my line was supposed to be.
Whatever floats your boat.
Dang it.
So try. I like Beyonce.
Whatever floats your boat.
No, that's buoyancy.
I like it.
He said, I like it. He just laughed, but he's pretty like,
I apologize. Sorry. So Olympic sports at IU.
Yes. And, you know, did a lot of high school games, college games, things like that. So then I was a part-time producer at MS Communications and worked my way up there. And then I got a call from the Colts. They, you know, the relationship, the good thing about MS at the time, they own all the big properties in town.
Yeah, they do.
They have, you know, IndyCar and IU football, basketball, Colts, Pacers, IHSAA. So that's really the place to be in terms of, again, networking and finding out how all these relationships work. And so got a call from the Colts and they just said, hey, we're looking to, you know, make a change and, you know, add some more. And we just, you know, we've taken notice of your work and you've been referred to us by other people. And so I just jumped to the chance to go over there, just an understanding how the dynamic of their business worked at the time. They own all the inventory. They own the rights to the broadcast, all the inventory. They sell all the spots. They hire the talent. The only thing, you know, MS did at the time on 1070 The Fan was air the games. So that was a good opportunity for me to go over there, knowing I wanted to do professional sports, be a part of professional sports, and have a chance to do, you know, play by play. It was go over there and start working and building up trust and loyalty and show your versatility. And that's what I did. So I made that switch in 2012 and I've never left.
And you were still with JMV at the time, or this is after you were with JMV?
Yeah, so I produced three different shows there, and then at the time, it's 2010 to 2012, I was doing afternoons with JMB.
You guys are really good together.
I appreciate that. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. You're still tight with JMB?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, figured.
Yeah.
It helps that you were born with that voice.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, like if you would have had this goal, but sounded like Pee Wee Herman, like that would have been a lot harder path for you. Not that the games wouldn't.
Honestly,
sound
not
great.
Not about the. I appreciate you saying that, but honestly, it's not about. It's about the pacing. It's about the intensity. And I always say this is going to get real like nuance, so I apologize. But use your voice as an instrument.
100%.
You know, you should be able to. If you're listening to a Colts game with a Colts slant by me, you should be able to just drive down the street and understand how the game is going just based on the intensity and the pressure I'm putting on the voice.
And I do when I listen to you in the car.
That's awesome.
And lately, during the Colts games, it sounded like you were sad.
Objectivity.
There was a little sadness in the last couple games.
Number one, I love your INDY touchdown calls. Was that ad-libbed?
Kind of. Well, no. Like, I wasn't looking for it. So I get asked about this all the time. I wish I had a better story, but it's really not. I love doing yard work. I have a really big yard and I'm really meticulous about it. It's just like what I enjoy doing. So with that, I always have headphones on. I like to listen to music and podcasts. And so I just have to have something on to help me get through that. And so this is probably like 5-6 years ago, doing yard work. I'm listening to a podcast and I'm almost at the end. And I don't like playing fantasy football, but I just throw on a fantasy football podcast on just to help me get through the last, you know, handful of minutes. And this is back when the Colts still had Andrew Luck, and they're talking, they're forecasting how good the offense is going to be, And the guy, the host of the podcast, just says, yeah, with Andrew Luck and all the weapons he's coming back, you know, expect to see a lot of touchdowns in Indy. And I don't know, like, why or how. I just, like, kind of, like, stopped dead in my tracks. It was like, that sounds pretty good. Touchdowns in Indy, and let's spell it out, like, get, like, a little punctuation mark in there.
Yeah.
Like, short, sweet. It's repeatable, right? So, touchdown, I-N-D-Y. So, I don't know.
Shotgun snap. Looks to his right.
Got it, got it.
Don't break it out like every time there's a touchdown, there's right. a time and place. But again, I sort of use it as an exclamation point, like to, you know, punctuate.
When it's a comeback touchdown.
Right. Like when it's appropriate, yeah. You know, hopefully it adds to people's enjoyment.
I hear you.
It's the Colts version of boom, baby. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I love it. At times I've seen videos of you doing your play-by-play, especially when it's usually a touchdown INDY. You're standing.
Yeah.
Do you stand the whole game?
The whole game.
Is it because you can't see or because you just can't sit down because it's too much? Because I know from what I've heard from guys on the radio, y'all are pretty high.
We are. So I think there's – it helps. It helps to stand, to be able to see. But I just think, like, in order to project,
yeah,
it's better to stand. And I'm an action talker, as you can see. Like, I use my hands a lot. And so – during the course of the game, if there's a big hit, I'll act it out. If there's a catch, I'll act it out. It helps me, if I do the actions, it helps me translate the words into my brain, and thus it comes out, you know, through my mouth. So, yeah, that's why I stand. I know a lot of guys stand. The biggest reason I stand is just to help enunciate and project and use that voice as an instrument.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's no difference from sitting down, playing, and singing to standing up. Just the difference in energy standing up.
Sure. Like, I used to sit the first year or two, and then I started standing, and I've never gone back.
Yeah, just the energy that comes from standing up.
Right.
I don't know why we sit down.
I feel like you must be exhausted by the end of a game.
It's not really. No.
Okay.
No. I mean, I'll sit during a break or, you know, catch your breath, so to speak, during
halftime. You have one of the people who squirt water in your mouth?
Like, but I do. I have a lot of information. You know, I've got the computer, and I've got information in front of me on the desk, and then there's a wall usually next to me, and I'll tape some information to that. So I'm up and moving a lot. You know, I'm looking down, or I'm going over here, and I'm pointing. So
I think you need a person. You need a person when you turn, and they squirt some Gatorade in there for you. Like me, it'd be tequila. Just yeah, great tequila right in there.
Your oldest is how old?
7.
See, starting. You got youngsters bringing that one in to squirt some water.
7 and 4.
7 and 4.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to sound negative. It's not. I love my children. They're a lot better when they don't live at home. Now that they're in their 30s, enjoy every minute that they're little. And, you know, people say, oh, it's going to go fast.
Sure. Oh, that's already is.
It really does. You look back and you're like I have some, I my barn plays a little homage to my children up there. But you look back and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You're dealing with it. You had a
I know my,
good
my
year or Christmas
month,
by yourself.
Next month, my youngest will be old enough to drink with me legally. My oldest will turn 25. So, yeah.
Yeah, my youngest is in their 30s.
Well, you're old.
Yeah, it's awesome though because when they come over, they can bring.
I try to take a lot of pictures.
Do,
I'm a very, and Brian can attest to this. I'm a very old soul.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I'm a very like nostalgic person. I feel like that I was that way in high school. You know, I was like capturing moments because like, hey, you know, in our 20-year reunion, like no one's thinking about that when they're 18 years old, but like
right.
I appreciate you saying that. So I take a lot of pictures to capture moments.
There's like so many things you look back on and you're like, wow, it feels like yesterday.
That yeah, you try to be present.
Kids were little, you know, and now they're this was our first year of having Christmas with none of our kids. They all had
sure
had, you know, other
significant others to go to
significant others to go to, and you're like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, the first kind of empty nester's Christmas is like, huh, there's really not a lot going on.
Yeah,
today. Yeah, but Naked Tuesdays.
Naked Tuesdays.
Yeah, you can have Naked Tuesdays, you know, so you can't have those right now.
No.
Because you're going to get a lot of questions.
Well, you can't. You just get some calls.
Yeah, well, a lot of questions. Your kids will ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So it's better to do that when they're living somewhere else.
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
Who replaced a legend, Bob Lamy? And that came about in a way, maybe not so great. Worked out well for you, obviously. And that was kind of late in the preseason, if I'm not mistaken. Like, there wasn't long before the season started. Am I accurate with
that? It was one game into a four-game preseason.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, at that point, Bob is gone. And did they immediately come to you and were like, hey, dude, we need somebody to be our play-by-play. Can you do this?
Well, they knew I could do it.
Yeah.
And they basically came to me and said, this is yours for the entire season on the interim basis.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Mm. Was it maybe temporary?
Yeah. So the plan was, I mean, it was like you said, it was during the preseason. We had just played the Seahawks and had gotten home and then did a joint practice with the Ravens. And then that's when the change happened. And so this is Saturday before a Monday night preseason game against Baltimore.
Mm.
Long story short, you know, they come to me and they say, you know, you're up for the season. And the plan was for me to do preseason TV. And then I had to switch to radio, obviously, when that whole thing went down. And then they had to bring in another guy to do TV. But that was supposed to be
it's really best that you were on the radio, not TV anymore.
Goodness gracious. Like, Brian's got a face for television.
Well, I do.
Especially with that hat. So, anyways, long story short.
Making the interview difficult. Because his head's already really giant.
Right.
And throw that hat on there, and I can't even see you most of the time.
So, I wasn't supposed to do that game because it was supposed to be a nationally televised, or it was a nationally televised broadcast. It was a Monday night game. So, it's an ESPN game, therefore, no local TV broadcast. So, I wasn't ready for that game at all to do radio. So I was in total scramble mode.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, went into prep and did the game, and, you know, it went well. But
thankfully, it's preseason. No one's listening anyway.
Well, I disagree with that. But there's still a lot of diehards out there.
That's true.
There is. I know a lot of them.
But anyways, so, yeah, that season was pretty crazy. I think, like, in, 10 years, I can, like, look back and laugh, but I ain't there yet.
What year was that?
It was 2018.
Okay.
So now I need to Google what happened to Bob. But so here's a question. Do you ever go back and watch the games and watch the...
All of them.
You do?
Every single one.
So...
Got your own film to watch, right?
So what I do is I sync the game up with the broadcast, the radio broadcast.
Okay.
So is there... who do you think the best television broadcast person there is for football today?
For football, Kevin Harlan.
I don't know who that one is.
Yeah.
I like
you'd recognize I like Tony Romo.
Well, he's not a play-by-play guy.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference.
I like the way he explains things. For us people that don't.
Sure.
I wasn't a football player.
Sure.
He's almost like he can tell the future.
He's pretty good at that.
People don't like that about him.
Really?
Yeah.
So I kind of dig it because maybe I'm not a huge...
Sure.
I feel like... I feel like Tom Brady has gotten better over this season.
I don't think he could have got any worse.
Well, you know, whatever. I mean, it takes some time, right? You know, they threw a lot of money at him, not knowing if he could even do that job.
Yeah.
And I really think he's done a pretty solid.
Listen, in order to be a really good color guy, which I've never been a color guy at a professional level.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, you're the analyst. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Knowing football, believe it or not, is like the fourth most important thing. It's knowing when to talk, and on radio, more importantly, knowing when not to talk.
Mm.
It's knowing what to talk about and do it succinctly and clearly so that the masses can understand. And that is a skill and a talent. So you may know the fact that there is cover two with the safety rolling and, you know, the propensity to go to this slot receiver on third and four or less, but the audience doesn't know that and doesn't need to know that. You need to tell them what they need to know in real time. So you can watch hours upon hours of film, but if you don't know the medium, it's going to make for a really choppy, unlistenable broadcast for the average person.
I didn't even know what you said. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea what that meant.
Oh,
I grew up racing.
Well, I mean, if you start talking about, you know, cover two and all these technical highbrow football terms, again, 99% of the audience won't know.
Cover two so, means I have this sheet and the blanket on me.
There you go. Double dose.
Nice.
Two shots of whiskey. Or no, in your case, tequila.
That's right.
I mean, I do listen, like, when we're not at home and I'm not able to watch the game, I'll kick you on and listen to it. And I love listening to you because I feel like I know what's going on when I'm listening to the game.
Listen, like, you guys, I think, can understand this. It's 2025 now, right? And you've got this giant, huge, beautiful TV screen. So would you rather be watching the game or listening to the game? You'd probably rather watch it, okay? So I know that 99% of my audience is listening to the game because they can't either, A, be at the game or be watching it on their 80-inch HD TV screen. So the audience needs to know at all times the box.
Yeah,
you watch a game on TV, you have the box, right? You got time and score, timeouts, who's got the ball. So I need to give them the box at all times. That cannot be compromised because it's a very transient audience. Like, a lot of people are listening to 5-minute spurts because they're filling up prescriptions or they're dropping off little Susie at soccer practice or they're on their way home from church. Okay, so they need to know who's got the ball, where it's at, the upcoming down and distance. Like, those things, if you listen to me, I'm probably like the most fundamental guy because I call the game based on how I want to listen to the game. And when I'm driving down the street, those are the things I need to know in order to pay attention and to follow along with the game. So if you listen to me, I'm going to tell you where the ball is, how it got there, who made the tackle, the gain on the play, and then the upcoming down and distance. And I will do that in some sort of variation literally every play.
Yeah, you're so good at that because that's what I want to know when I'm listening to the game, and it's good that you know that.
You can't go more than three plays tops without giving some sort of
update, indication
of what the score is and how much time is left.
Yeah, you don't score. What?
You don't have to flat out come out and say it, but you can say we're halfway through the third quarter and the Colts are up 7.
That's enough. Yeah.
You know, but you obviously want to do more than that consistently.
Yeah, that's awesome that you're that aware. That's impressive.
Well, I mean, we've all been there, right? You drive 45 minutes down the road and it's like, what is the score?
Yeah, there's a lot of people in their jobs that aren't that aware of what they're supposed to be doing in their job. So
yeah,
that's awesome that you are that aware of what you're
so much time and preparation and thought put into all of the broadcasts. You know, I, being a former player and a former athlete, it's like that. It's just ingrained in me to prepare for these games like I was a coach or a player. And so there's literally thousands of pieces of information that never see the light of day throughout the course of a broadcast. The broadcast is going to dictate the information that I present to the audience. But you have to be prepared for anything and everything. But those things can never be compromised for the box, the timing, the score, and who's got the ball so that the average fan can follow along with the game and still find it enjoyable.
I got to tell you, I'm every time Brian brings a guest like this on, I'm more and more impressed of something that I absolutely know nothing about. Like, we had Jake on.
Yep.
You probably know Jake.
Yeah.
You know, listening to the Indy 500. There's a lot of us that'd rather listen to the radio broadcast than listen to the TV broadcast.
Sure.
Watch it on TV and listen to the radio.
Sure.
And he talked about all of that preparation and what it takes to do that. And I was like, wow, I never even thought of that. And then you just took it to a whole nother level because really they just got to say where the cars are. You're actually explaining and understanding the plays and understanding what they're doing.
There's
on the field.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother level.
Well, there's 53 guys in the regular season per team. So that's, you know, over 100. And then the preseason, there's 180 guys on the field because they're 90-man rosters. So you got to you have to know all of them. You have to know the teams, the coaches. You have to know the up-to-date storylines. And I like to think, you know, I'm relatively fresh at this, right? This is my I'm going into my eighth season. I've been doing play-by-play professionally for a couple decades now, but at the highest level, I'm still new compared to a lot of guys that have been, you know, long tenured and rightfully so. A lot of guys are really, really good. So I know as I continue to get better that there's guys out there that have been doing this longer and that have achieved a lot. But that being said, I like to think there's nobody that's going to outwork me, that's going to be more prepared than I am. So,
yeah.
What does preparation look like from your end for a game?
Well, for a game, it's just a ton of reading. I love to read anything and everything about the teams. So, you know, you've got your staple of guys and your outlets that you always read on the Colts, and you do the same thing. You scour online and print media for the opponent. So, like, if we play Sunday to Sunday, most of my week is reading and sorting and organizing and cataloging. And then we get to about late Wednesday night, Thursday, I'll start organizing charts and boards and, you know, start categorizing things that are really kind of nuanced that might happen throughout the course of the game. And then I'll tell you, when those things happen, like if those things actually come to fruition and you're prepared and you know exactly where to find them in the moment, because that's when they're only applicable.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's in the moment because they only happen like one time per game. Like when you actually have something like that, and then it comes to fruition during the game and you're able to find it and bring it to light and educate the audience and enlighten them. And it just takes the broadcast to the next level. There is no better high. Honest to God. It's like nobody else has this. You know, we did the research on this and, you know, we found out the percentage of time on da 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 da. And it's such a good feeling because then, you know, like the time and the work was worth it. And that little nugget represents hundreds of nuggets that don't make the broadcast.
Right. That's how we feel every closing.
Yeah.
How did that? I have no idea.
No, right.
I wasn't ready for that.
But so to take it a step further, there is a lot of content that we produce. We have radio and digital podcast content all day, or every day, I should say, during the course of the week. And so I bet 90% of my day, Monday to Friday during business hours, is just doing that and doing things that are based on deadlines. And then the other 10%, you add up all of those 10% and that gets me ready for Sunday. But even that's not enough. So, you know, you were talking about balancing family life and kids and things like that. So I'll go home, be present, try to be a dad, do dinner, do bedtime, play with the kids. And then, you know, the kids' bedtime is usually the dust settle there around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then I'll go back to work. I'll go back to work from, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock until 11, 11:30 midnight, getting ready for Sunday, just because there's not enough hours in the day. So, you know, a lot of people think you just show up and call the game. Yeah. And, you know, obviously there's more to that. But during the season, it is an absolute grind. It's 7 days a week for 6.5, 7 months. It's
your wife is
it's fun. There's no question. She's at least a parent and a half for half of the season. And without her support, there's no way I'd have this job. There's no way I could do it. She sacrifices so much. And that's why, like, when I'm on the road and we're getting ready for a game on Sunday and I have those pinch me moments, I usually think of her because of the sacrifice that she makes to allow me to do this.
That's pretty awesome.
So I bet a lot of people don't realize, number one, you are employed by the Colts, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So number two, it's a full-time, full-year job. You're not only working during the football season. So here we are in the off season. What are you doing between now and, let's say, July when it's training camp?
Yeah, it's way more manageable. Like the schedule during the season is like hair on fire, go, 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 rinse, wash, repeat, game, 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 deadline, 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 show, 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 show. It's more 9 to 5. You can shut your brain off a little bit, but in saying that, there's still plenty of content that we produce. I don't mind admitting this. You know, my first off season from 2012 to 2013, I didn't have much to do because this is sort of like in the infancy of social media and podcasting. There was just a lot less digital mediums. Now, with the rise of everything and the popularity of the NFL and what the NFL has done such a good job of marketing itself, where you guys notice this, you play the Super Bowl, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, here's the Combine. Right, the Combine is like the biggest event as it relates to the draft before the draft. Then 3 weeks after the Combine, free agency. Month after that, you've got the draft, and then you've got OTAs, and you got the off-season workout program, and then boom, it's just like this vicious cycle. Here we go again for training camp, right? So there's peaks and valleys to it, but the NFL has done such a great job of never truly going away, and so many fans, I think, are just as interested, if not more interested, in roster construction and the business of
football. We are now.
The salary cap, yeah, as they are in games. Honestly, like, I think the analytics reflect that. I think, you know, the year that Andrew Luck retired and there was all these questions about who's going to be the next quarterback of the Colts and how are they going to build the roster, that following offseason, our numbers in terms of content were through the roof. They were beating numbers that we had in October and November when you're kind of in the grind and the monotony of the season, you're playing every week. Like, people love that stuff, and that's where the off-season part of the job really kicks in. Plus, we manage the radio network. We have 40-plus radio stations across the network that I have to oversee and manage.
Wow.
So a lot of the off-season is, like, the business side of it.
Yeah,
that's a bummer, because I wanted to hire you, since the Colts season is over, to do, like, a week of play-by-play of Brian and I's.
Well, we can still do that. we can still do a contract.
I can hear him, you know, it's 6:30, Brad's at his desk. Brian's still sleepy.
Takes a pen from left side to right.
Brad's made 8-4.
Strikes the paper.
Brian's editing another video.
Now, yeah, that's a lot of that. Your first year as play-by-play was 2018. If I'm not mistaken, that was when Andrew Luck retired, was it not?
We had 1 year of Andrew Luck. So I thought,
okay,
you know, 2018, they started 1-5. They get on a roll, make playoffs. They win a playoff game. You know, coincidentally, that's the last time they won a playoff game that year. They beat Houston. But I thought, like, this is great. I'm the play-by-play guy in the prime and the height of Andrew Luck's career. Like, I'm going to be calling a Super Bowl within 3 years. I did not forecast any of this.
Oh, man.
Right? All of the up and down, topsy-turvy nature and just the, you know, where we're at right now.
Okay, I have a question for you. Pull the Colts out so you don't get in trouble with any Colts players or any Colts people right now. The Colts don't exist. Who's your favorite player in the NFL, non-Colt player?
Ooh. I love Joe Burrow.
Hi, he's pretty awesome.
He's really good.
I love Joe Burrow. Yeah. Yeah. Derek Carr. I'm just thinking of quarterbacks. Derek Carr, I've always had just like a big bromance with him.
Yeah.
I've always really appreciated him, the leader that he is and, you know, the character that he shows.
I actually wanted to see him in the Colts.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
But I'm still a Patrick Mahomes fan.
Yeah.
It's fair.
To bring the Colts back into it, though, honestly, I'm not going to give you any names, but I mean, I've been doing this now for 13, 14 years, and so you do the math on the amount of turnover and the amount of guys that have been inside the locker room. And I've interviewed darn near every one of them, or at least had, you know, an off the record conversation with every one of them. And there's like five guys that I just don't like.
Oh, yeah. See, I was going to ask you a question like that. Or
I mean, they're all really good, just down to earth, normal people, you know, personality wise. And they're all really good. Now, there's a handful of bad apples, but honestly, like, out of all of that number, like, I can think of just like a handful of guys I'm just like, eh.
Who is the most reachable that I need to contact to get on our show?
Just kidding. We'll do that later.
We have had a couple people say that we need to get Pat McAfee on the show. Can you get Pat McAfee to come on the show?
I can help you. I can give you a little starter kit there.
Okay. So if I win the Powerball,
all right,
we'll probably be able to
might require.
I think this will help. This is a good start.
Do you like this setup?
This is great.
Do you find yourself at this point having moments where you're interviewing somebody or meet somebody and you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I'm actually talking to this person?
Yeah. Yeah, I still do. Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I interviewed Troy Aikman. Like, I had no idea what I even said or asked, because I'm just, like, looking at his face the whole time. Like, holy shit, I'm talking to Troy Aikman. Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, I mean, I still get starstruck and, you know, telling people that, like, it's my job to go in the Colts locker room and talk to professional athletes. Like, I'm probably numb to it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You know, I'm probably no longer impressed by it. But I think that if I, you know, if I just drive home and I have a good inner perspective, it's like there's thousands of people that would love to have my job.
Oh.
And that part is never lost on me. But the things that I get to do within the job, sometimes I take for granted and get numb to it a little bit. And I think that's probably one that I need to do a better job of, you know, appreciating, trying to, well, I always try to you know, shine the horseshoe, if you will, within the guys in the locker room. But the chance and the ability to do that is, it's always really cool.
What's going to be great for you is when you drive home today, you're going to say,
I got to be on Q's podcast, drinking a Sun King.
It's awesome.
So do you get to park in the player parking lot when you pull up?
No.
All right.
It's not.
Coolest car in the player parking lot. Who has the coolest?
There are a lot of guys have the new Tesla truck deal.
The Cyber.
Yeah, a lot of guys have those.
Yes.
Well.
It's actually the...
A lot of pimped out trucks.
Four douchiest words said today in 2025. That's my Cybertruck.
how did it get such a bad rap?
I don't know.
It looks like a first grader drew it.
But I kind of dig it. I mean, I've seen several, and every time I see them, each time I see it, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I disagree.
Reaction and possession at all. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you. The guy
speaks
to. Oh, that's
funny.
I used to do a lot of mortgages for Colts players.
Oh,
I can't. Right. I can't say their names,
sure,
because I did their financial stuff. But they, I'm not a sports guy. Okay, I'm stick and ball sports guy. And
oh, you do watch the Colts game?
I do watch the Colts games. Absolutely. I didn't used to. The first football game I ever sat through and watched in the entire game, and it's the only football game I've ever been to that was at. Lucas Oil Stadium, a live football game, was the Super Bowl 2012. I got to go to that game and I watched the whole thing.
Giants Pats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome because, you know, the Patriots didn't win.
That's right.
It's kind of cool. But it a lot of loans for them. And I worked with a lot of sports agents. And the most embarrassing thing for me as a non sports person was I had a customer that was in town and he needed to get approved to buy this house that he wanted to buy. And he told me who he was. The agent told me, you know, they're in town for a game. And I was like, huh, I didn't even know football was going on right now. Because he played for the Hawks. And he was in town to play. And he's like, oh, I played for the Hawks. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know football is going on right now. He's like, that's the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, no.
Let's go. Yeah, I don't watch a lot of sports, dude.
Well, they're in the NFC South. You know, you don't play them every year.
That was... Totally
trying to justify it.
Wrong sport, like completely wrong sport. But his mortgage went in just like if he would have played football.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to work with Eugene Parker,
okay,
which was an agent for a lot of really top athletes, and Max Siegel, who was a sports agent for a lot of people. So it's pretty cool. Eugene Parker was an amazing guy.
Do you even watch football games anymore for recreation?
Yes, I would love to watch more than I do, actually. But during the season, I don't get to watch a whole lot of NFL because it coincides with, you know, either being at the stadium or being on the road, traveling with the team. And then Monday nights and Thursday night games, I'm usually working.
Mm.
So I kind of have it on in the background, but I'm never really fully engaged in the primetime games. Saturdays, I love. It's hard because of the kids, right? But before a home game, when I'm home, I'd try to carve out some time to watch IU, huge IU football fan.
Now, this year is a good year to be an IU football fan.
But I love college football in general. I love the pageantry. I love the pomp and circumstance to it and the bands, the whole thing. And when there's time, like those trips that we've been on a million times, like trips to Jacksonville and Houston and Tennessee, and there's not much to do and there's not much new to see, and I have the whole hotel room to myself and it's quiet with no kids, I will pull out the laptop with the dual screen. And I'll have like four college games going at one time. I'll order a room service and just watch college football because I don't get a whole lot of chance during the season to watch much NFL other than the Colts, believe it or not.
Are you a quiet football watcher?
Yes, okay. I am.
I could just picture you like coming to a Super Bowl party, you know,
because it's egregious.
Since the Colts aren't in the Super Bowl, you'll probably get invited to a Super Bowl party. And I see you as the guy in the background, like everybody else is eating chips and you're commentating the whole game.
See, football parties are hard for me because most people want to come up and talk Colts, which I'm not adverse to at all.
Sure. Right?
I always joke, like when we go to Thanksgiving or Christmas and we go to my wife's side of the family and they know what I do and there's always drama with the Colts, I always say when we walk in, let's just hold a press conference. Get it all out at once.
Can you answer questions like Bobby Knight would have?
I don't want to have the same conversation 20 times.
Yeah.
So, and that's actually what we do. I walk in and I sort of hold serve and I just answer all the questions and then we just, you know, talk like normal people. But when I'm with friends or, you know, people I don't know, there's always a couple of people. There's always that guy that tries to tell me what's going on with the Colts.
No, that'd be horrible.
That's actually why I kind of don't like going to Super Bowl parties, because many people at a Super Bowl party, that's the only game they watch all year.
Sure.
But they've all got opinions on what's happening or what should happen. And I'm like,
it's different than working at a bank, right? I mean, it's a very public job.
Hey, I work at a bank.
Everybody can see it. It's on display every Sunday for 3 hours. Everybody can have an opinion on it. And that's what makes it great. That's sports. That's why we do it. But there's always a couple of people that try to tell me, you know, my neighbor's mailman told me this. And it's like, okay.
All right, I'm going to hold a press conference about where rates are and why they are. And then please don't tell me why the economy's working wrong.
You know, I get those conversations.
You do too, don't you? Like
to a certain extent.
Yeah. Like, first thing people will say when I walk in the door, what are interest rates?
Yeah, what are the rates?
All right. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask your thoughts on the Colts moving forward into the next season. I'm a season ticket holder, so,
yeah.
You know, I care.
What he's asking you, should he continue to buy?
Honestly, don't say that I want to continue for how much longer, because I don't love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever you can and I guess would be willing to kind of share.
No, it's...
employee, we understand.
Well, no, I mean, but... To the Colts credit, you know, as long as I keep it objective and non-personal, I have no run-ins. It's sort of a conflict of interest. It's an inherent conflict of interest, I should say, you know, talking about the team, covering the team that you get paid by.
Yeah.
But to their credit, they do a really good job of knowing that, you know, there's things that need to be said and objectivity needs to take place. But at any rate, you know, I agree with what Chris Ballard said last week at the end of the season press conference. You know, he said they're not close, and they're not. They've got a long way to go. I mean, they are 8-9, you know, a couple games out of the playoffs this year. And if you look at the wins that they had out of the 8 wins, 7 of them were against teams that were under 500. And most of those wins were by one score. So they're eking out wins against teams that are still at home. So there's no question that, you know, the defense is going to get overhauled. There's going to be a new defensive coordinator. There's going to be a new staff. There's going to be a new scheme. We'll see what that means for the guys on that side of the ball that are free agents this upcoming offseason, guys like EJ Speed and Dio Adangbo and Julian Blackman. Those are all key players, some of them starters. And then obviously it goes without saying that, I mean, just enormous offseason for the quarterback.
Yeah.
Quarterback has to prove a couple of different things. He has to prove that he can stay healthy. He has to prove that he can mature and lead and prepare the right way, which is it's the genesis of his benching in the middle of the season. And he has to prove that he can be incredibly more accurate. And, you know, a stat that I looked up the other day just to sort of drive home the point is there were 38 qualified quarterbacks this year in the NFL. That's quarterbacks that averaged at least 12 attempts per game. Obviously, Anthony Richardson was the lowest quarterback in the NFL in terms of completion percentage, right? That's not surprising. But what is alarming is that out of 38, 36 of them were completing at least 60% of their passes. Anthony Richardson is at 47, right? So to increase that completion percentage by 13 points, for those that don't know, that is a lot. Most quarterbacks, even the great quarterbacks, can, in one season's time, improve their accuracy 5-6 points. You're asking him to improve that much just to be, you know, middle of the road, so to speak. So I don't think he's ever going to be a great precision passing quarterback, but what they have to do is get more out of the intermediate pass game. They have to accentuate his ability to run while also staying healthy.
They did a better job of that when he came back from his 2-game absence.
Sure.
A lot more running from him.
Yeah.
Honestly, made them better.
It made them better. They played to his strengths. He's a good, he's a wildcat quarterback as of right now, right? He runs the ball well. He throws a deep ball really well. But everything in the middle of the field, the intermediate passing game, has to be better. And, you know, they finished 8th in the NFL this year in rushing as a team. Jonathan Taylor went nuts at the end of the season. He was able to finish 4th in the NFL in overall rushing. So that's good. You're able to complement that. But in order to win and win big, obviously you have to be able to throw the ball. You have to be more accurate. You have to just be more efficient in the passing game as an offense.
I heard Mike Chappell on the way here. I think he was on with JMV. He said AR would have to complete 84. His first 84 passes, yes, to reach the next person on that list.
Yeah. I think he got that from me, actually.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah.
So not to take credit for Chap. But
I just heard he's not sure if you should renew your season tickets or not. That's what I heard.
They've already been renewed. It's a matter of whether it's going to happen after the next.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but that's the reality of it, right? Yeah. Those are the hard truths. And that's what, to his credit, that's what Chris said at the end of the season and, you know, answered the tough questions. And that's the reality of where they're at right now.
There you go.
Okay, so looking back through all of the NFL, if you could call any game from the past, what would be your dream game for you to be able to call, looking back at all of the NFL games?
It's a good question. I don't know if I have a game or a moment. What I'm dying for, to be honest with you, is a streaker. I'm dying for a streaker.
There you go. You could be a streaker.
Because in television, you know, they contractually have to not to show that.
Yeah.
I would love to do play-by-play and the movements on the field of a streaker. I'm dying.
That guy.
Dying.
The 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of him's at the 10th and the other part's at the 15th. He's amazing.
I'm dying to do the most meticulous, detailed, focused play-by-play of a streaker and just have him get walloped by security.
Oh,
yeah.
And just get try to nail that.
Or get trucked by
somebody
on the Colts.
He's got a tattoo.
Yeah. So wrong answer, not what you were looking
for. Oh, no, that's a great answer.
Awesome.
I like to add, you know, that to find out what that dream call is. And now that I know that it's, you know, the sausage and the nuggets, it's like a whole different deal.
We've had plenty of good moments. You know, we've had walk-off touchdowns and defensive stands and, you know, pick sixes and things like that, walk-off field goals. So
do you get really mad when the guy drops the ball right before he crosses?
Well, it's just deflate. There's so many things. Like being the play-by-play guy is like the executive producer of the show. It's like the air traffic controller. So scores a touchdown and you're trying to put, because that was towards the end of the season, so everything Jonathan Taylor did was a milestone, right?
Right.
You're trying to put that into perspective. And then
it was a massive game.
It was a massive game. And then we go to break and then the play's being reviewed. And so we're trying to, all this stuff was happening in real time. It's like, what happened? What do you see in the replay? What's the swing of momentum here? You know, this piece of information is sponsored, so we're going in. Like, you have all of these things. You have all of these voices in your head. You know, I've got sideline reporter in my head, the analyst in my head, the producer in my head, the stat guy in my head. So literally, like, you're playing a game of chess in your brain for 3 hours. And so it's trying to compartmentalize all of the things that happen in real time and say, I'm going to get to you first. I'm going to get to that next. You can wait. I'm going to put this here. So, like, when something like that happens, it's really frantic, and then you have to dial in and focus and try to prioritize everything that's happening all at once.
That's like being an air traffic controller. That was like having two planes land on the same runway at the same time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's a bummer.
Not good.
But, man, I really appreciate you coming out here, especially on I wanted to say Thursday evening, but it's not. It's Monday. A Monday evening. We usually do this on Thursdays, but I know you work a bunch, and I know now you're probably gonna have a little looser schedule, which is nice.
Here in the off season, though, I mean, it could have been a night when you were at the office and then got to go home, but you came out and spent some time with us.
My pleasure, guys. I appreciate you.
Appreciate it.
To those of you watching at home, hit that subscribe button, drop us a comment, and share as always.
Don't forget to check us out on all of the podcast platforms.
And if you're looking to donate to my marathon cause, we'll have a link down. We don't know still where we're donating as of the recording of this, but we're going to donate the money somewhere. And
remember, we got to raise $1,000 to get Brian to run this marathon. And out of that $1,000, once we hit it, I will match it. So we'll give $2,000 to a charity, and Brian will run a marathon at Disney World.
Yeah, that's right. And you're running with me. So
in a dopey.
Next time on Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Thanks for watching. Cheers.
Cheers.